Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, January 23rd, 2025. We'll start with a story titled Danville Alderman Vote to Help Provide Shelter for Homeless Family. This is written by Kegla White, and there's a picture of Alderman on the Danville City Council. Listen as Adam All, GIS coordinator, explains how to utilize the city's website's App Central. One Danville family is in need of shelter and finally breathe a breath of fresh air later this spring when a house owned by the dwelling place will be rehabbed and renovated thanks to funds granted by the City of Danville City Council. The council voted unanimously Tuesday, January 21st, to approve a community development block grant to the dwelling place to pay for a contracting bid to rehabilitate the house located at 123 Payne Avenue. Logan Cronk, Community Development Administrator, estimates work on the house could begin in a few weeks and be completed by around mid-spring. When Alderman John Cooper raised the question as to why the city is working to help provide such a grant to the dwelling place but not to Danville Rescue, whose board members and president have approached the council several times in the past year asking for assistance, Cronk pointed out that the process takes years sometimes. We were approached several years ago by the dwelling place, and this is how long it's taken to get to this point, Cronk said, answering Cooper's question. I'm glad we're looking at this, Cooper said. It's a problem that needs to be resolved, and hopefully this helps, hopefully sooner and later. Because if you look at the temperatures right now, and they just have no place to go. The grant will go to pay for an $89,000 rehab and renovation for the main house of the floor of the house, Cronk said, a sum substantially lower than the city previous cost proposal for the project. Two bids were received, one in the amount of approximately $124,000, and the second, which is being considered tonight, is in the amount of $89,000, Cronk said. The house will be completely renovated, Cronk said, including the electrical rewire, a new furnace, new floors, and improvements in the exterior. You name it, everything's being fixed in this home, Cronk said. Once complete, the two-bedroom house will house a full family in need, and I have to change the page here, so, in need, where's it at? Sorry, hang on 1 second. Okay, I found it. Once complete, the two-bedroom home will house a full family in need of shelter. Danville Rescue ready to open seeking insurance. As far as Danville Rescue shelters, the women's shelter is completely ready to house people in need of shelter, but opening it is stalled while the nonprofit seeks insurance for the building. They have done a lot of work to get Day Springs Women's Shelter back in order, and they have passed all of our city inspections, Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said. The difficulty that's they're having now is that they cannot find an insurer, so they have called local places. I have called local places for them. Our HR manager, Kathy Corson, has also reached out to our insurance partners, Williams said. City website and app Central to receive new apps updates. Adam All, GIS coordinator for the city, addressed the council with a presentation on the city website's applications available to the public, including a new application coming February 1st called Report It, which will enable citizens to report everything from politics to blight easily and quickly. Aside from the new app, the website also includes several other apps, including the All Spoke of Tuesday Night, which helps direct residents of Danville to the correct government building, depending on their needs. It came about because we're getting a lot of confusion in the citizenry about which offices do which things, which governments do which things, Al said. And this app helps to answer some of those questions. The application and many others can be accessed by visiting the City of Danville's website, clicking the Services tab, and then selecting App Central. Next story is titled Native Seeds, Strong Plants, Beautiful Flowers. Danville Public Library offering free native seed library. And this again is written by Kegla White. And there's a picture of Brooke Trucelli, Director of Community Relations, stands next to the free seed library at the Danville Public Library. Danville Public Library is finding new ways to share knowledge and resources with the community. 3 years after a native plant garden was installed at the library, visitors can now take home free packets of seeds to plant on their own in their own gardens. One of the first joint ventures between the Illinois Master Gardeners and Illinois Master Naturalist programs at the University of Illinois Extension, the garden has been tended to by 10 volunteers, 5 each program, who work diligently between April and October to ensure the garden stays healthy and beautiful. It's the gift to the community, Master Gardener and Master Naturalist Kristen Camp said. By having the native plant garden there, we can share the beauty of native plants with the community and show them that they can be a beautiful asset to the community. What makes these plants so special is their ability to survive the unique changing climate of central Illinois, according to Camp, who was one of the volunteers that designed and planned the native plant garden. Native plants are adapted to our environment, especially as the climate changes, so plants that are native will be much more successful and will require much less care, she said. Aside the removing sod and remnants of old bushes and tilling the soil, volunteers made no changes to the soil, no soil amendments or fertilizer was used when they installed the native plant garden at the library because of their evolutionary adaptation to the area. The plants are able to resist pests naturally. You don't need to spray them because they are adapted to the insects in the area, Camp said. Another benefit of plant native seeds is their ability to rejuvenate and add more necessary nutrients to the soil. Unlike plants that have been brought to the area, native plants help to replenish the nutrients in the soil, which helps to strengthen the diversity, biodiversity, and sustainability of the area. When Europeans settlers first arrived in Illinois, the soil was rich with nutrients and minerals thanks to glaciers that moved through the area around 10,000 years ago, covering nearly 85% of Illinois, according to the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. But once that land had been emptied of indigenous people and plowed up by the European settlers, the prairie lands that had created such a diverse ecosystem both above and beneath ground as well as ground was all but eradicated. They plowed up to 99.1% of the, and I gotta move places again, sorry, of the prairie, so less than 1/4 of 1% was left. Most of that is found at old cemeteries and railroad right of ways and little quarters that weren't good farming land, Camp said. They were all about growing plants, growing crops, and didn't appreciate the tall grass prairie. Thanks to restoration projects that began to in Forest Glen 3 decades ago, Camp said, one of these prairies are coming back. As native plants and grasses grow, they help to bring the soil back to life. Aside from providing beautiful, easy-to-care-for gardens, these strong, hardy, native plants also provide food and shelter to local pollinators and insects like hummingbirds, bees, and butterflies. One native plant, milkweed, provides both nectar and pollen as well as leaf and stem material to monarch butterflies, an endangered species in the area. Milkweed is the only place monarch butterflies can lay eggs because their larvae can chew on it, according to Camp. Though there are other plants that adult butterflies can get nectar from, such as butterfly weed, only milkweed supplies both nectar and food for monarch larvae. Milkweed is a perfect example of how a native plant supplies what pollinators need to in ways other plants can't, Camp said. Although spring is still several weeks away, Now is the time to sow some of these seeds. Because of the knowledge gained and shared by master gardeners and naturalists in the area, people are learning more about the benefits of winter sowing, Camp said. Some of these plants need a period of cold to germinate, she said, so planting them now gives them a good head start. Winter sowing involves planting seeds in an old milk jug containers or something similar, then sealing them shut and placing them in the sun to create a mini greenhouse. Seeds know when to germinate, especially native seeds who are accustomed to these conditions. A seedling will sprout and about mid-May, you can transplant them into another pot or right into the ground if they are big enough, Camp said. The seed library is available in the foyer of the main floor of the library. The Danville Public Library is open from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Visitors do not have to be patrons of the library, and they are welcome to take packs of seeds for free. There is no plan to remove the seed library, and it will be added to as more plants in the garden mature. Okay, there's just one obituary today. Ruth Jeanette Abernathy. Ruth Carl Abernathy, 91, of Danville, peacefully passed this life on January 3rd, 2025 at Hawthorne Inn. A memorial service will be held at New Life Church at noon on Friday, the 24th of January. The family would like to thank Kirk Swanson, coordinator of the hospice through transitions, and the nursing staff at Hawthorne Inn. Next story, I was sadder than I thought I'd be. Local content creator coping with TikTok ban confusion. This again is written by Kegla White. All over the nation, 170 million people have been sitting on the edge of their seats over the past few days, waiting to see if the long-awaited TikTok ban would go into effect. And go into effect it did Sunday afternoon. Sorry, TikTok is not available right now, a notice said when users attempted to use the app. The notice also said that a law banning TikTok in the United States has been enacted, adding that the company was fortunate that President Trump has indicated that he will work with us on a solution to reinstate the app. Mere hours later, those who attempted to access the app received a surprising new notice. As a result of President Trump's efforts, TikTok is back in the United States. Before he took office, Trump said he would most likely extend the ban by 90 days. The TikTok ban came about in the notice of users of the popular app. TikTok was posted Saturday, January 18th, when opening the app. The ban lasted less than 24 hours before service was restored back to the normal. Next story is titled Indiana Native Pins Brass and Glory for Inauguration, and this is out of Washington, D.C. Commercial News. Alex Tidrow grew up in Shoals, Indiana, playing guitar and hoping to one day become a rock star. I listened to a lot of Green Day. I wanted to be the next Billy Joel Armstrong, said Tidrow, who serves as one of three staff arrangers for the United States Army Band, Pershing's own, and has composed Brass and Glory, a new fanfare that played during Monday's presidential inauguration in Washington, D.C. How a kid from the tiny Martin County town of less than 700 switched from rock to classical music happened by chance. When I was in high school, I had a chance to go to an orchestra concert, and I was hooked, said Tidrow, who worked at the gas station in town to pay for music lessons, instruments, and other music-related opportunities. Not living that far from Indiana University gave me the chance to attend concerts and take lessons from some of the grad students there. His work, both at the gas station and the classroom, paid off. Tidrow earned the Lilly Endowment Community Scholar Award, which paid for the tuition and books at Indiana University's Jacobs School of Music. Without the Lilly Scholarship, I would I never would have been able to pursue music like this in a career, said Tedro, who earned bachelor's and master's degrees from IU in composition and music education. It was around 2 years ago, Tedro, who worked with the IU's Center of Rural Engagement and served as Associate Instructor of Music Education, Composition Department Coordinator, and as a faculty member with the pre-college with the pre-college Jacobs Academy, won the audition to be a staff arranger with Pershing's Own. My job is one of the best kept secrets, said Tedro, who said the selections process to become a staff arranger required several mock projects as well as willingness to enlist. We are considered active duty military, but we are based in Washington, D.C. I've enlisted for 4 years and can re-enlist when the time comes. Brass and Glory was originally scheduled to be played by the Herald Trumpets from the balcony during Monday's inauguration celebration, but due to weather, it was performed in the Capitol. Originally taking just 2 or 3 days to compose, Brass and Glory was played after Trump's inauguration speech. Tedro's work doesn't end once the inauguration is over. I also wrote and arranged music for concerts and ceremonies for our nation's leadership in the United States government and military, and I regularly write music to be performed at the White House, he said, adding he is also tasked with transcribing and verifying national anthems for performances when heads of state for foreign nations visit the Washington, D.C. The band coat of honors. Tedro's uniform looks a bit different than that of the others serving in the Army. That's because those involved Pershing's Own have a unique uniform. The creation of the coat of arms for the Army band was authorized in late 1964 and was created at the Army's Institute of Heraldry. The band's distinctive insignia, the coat of arms, consists of three parts. The shield, it contains 8 red and white stripes that allude to an octave of music. The blue border represents the band is the chief musical organization in the entire Army. The sword and the baton indicate the band's mission of supplying military music. The small gold and black shield symbolizes the band's Rhineland campaign honor received during World War II. The crest contains a laurel wreath, a symbol of honor and prominence, formed in the shape of a lyre to symbolize music. The large white silver star symbolizes that the band is the band of the chief of staff and also represents General Pershing's founding role. The bugle horn, one of the earliest instruments used for martial music, is used to denote a military marching band. The motto is the scroll containing the band's official designation, Pershing's Own, which signifies the band's founder, General John J. Pershing. Next story is titled Bismarck Lion Plans Pancake and Sausage Day. This is in Bismarck. The Bismarck Lions Club will serve pancakes and sausage at Bismarck Henning Elementary School Saturday, February 1st from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. as part of its annual Pancake and Sausage Day. The cost is $10 for adults, $5 for kids age 6 to 12, and children age 5 and under are admitted free. Sponsor packs of 10 tickets are available ahead of time for $85. Advance meat orders may be made by calling 217-497-2617. Tickets are available from any Bismarck's Lions Club member or can be purchased at the door. Takeout will be available. Funds donated will be used to help meet the needs of the community. Bismarck Lions Club treasurer George Peterson said that the pancake and sausage breakfast for some is like a reunion, traveling from miles away just to enjoy the meal and visit with old friends. The Women's Club of Bismarck will be right inside the school door selling treats. The Bismarck Lions Club conducts vision screens for preschool students. Kids Sight, a Lions Club community service program, provides a simple and non-invasive vision screening test. The club recently purchased its own Plusotix vision screening machine at no cost to the students. The testing screens for several conditions, including lazy eye. Please contact any Bismarck Lions if your group would like a vision screening. The club will accept donations of glasses and hearing aids. From its inception, Lions International has been a champion in helping combat vision impairment and blindness. The Bismarck Lions Club meets the first and third Mondays of each month at 7 p.m. at Lions Clubs are a group of men and women who identify needs within the community and work together to fulfill those needs. Chartered in 1956, the Bismarck Lions Club celebrated 65 years of service in 2021. For more information to get involved with the Bismarck Lions Club, visit www.facebook.com/BismarckLions. Lions Club International is the world's largest service club organization with more than 1.4 million members in approximately 48,000 clubs in more than 200 countries and geographical areas around the world. Since 1917, Lions Clubs have aided the blind and visually impaired and made a strong commitment to community service and serving youth throughout the world. For more information about Lions Club International, visit the site at www.lionsclub.org. And there's a picture of members of the Lion Club at a recent meeting prepping for the Pancake and Sausage Day. Next story is titled, West Hill Man Sentenced to DOC for Unlawful Possession of a Weapon by a Felon, written by a staff reporter. Joseph Nicholas Jr., age 48, formerly of Westville, pleaded guilty to two felony charges in a matter presided over by Judge Karen E. Wall. Nicholas pleaded guilty to unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon, a Class II felony, and was sentenced to 7 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections. Additionally, Nicholas pleaded guilty to driving while driver's license revoked, a Class 4 felony, receiving a concurrent sentence of 3 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections. He will serve a term of 6 months mandatory supervised release following the term of his imprisonment. Judge Wall heard evidence that on August 12th of 2022, an officer with the Westville Police Department observed a motorcycle driving at a high rate of speed on East Oak Street in Westville. The officer attempted to stop the motorcycle, but the suspect fled, and after multiple violations of the Illinois Vehicle Code were observed by police during the pursuit, the suspect crashed the motorcycle. The driver was identified as Nicholas. Upon search of Nicholas, police say they located a High Point 380 caliber firearm with multiple rounds of ammunition, including one in the chamber. The firearm was located in a holster inside Nicholas's coat pocket. Upon identification, Nicholas was found to be wanted on a warrant for the Illinois Department of Corrections, as well as a warrant of the Vermilion County. He was transported to OSF Hospital for treatment due to injuries from the crash prior to being transported to the Vermilion County Public Safety Building. State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey thanked the Westville Police Department for their quick response to protect the public. Lacey added, "The sentencing of the case reflects the severity of the offenses. It is my hope that this sentence will deter repeat offenders and continue to disobey the law." We'll just run through some sports games. Local roundup, Salt Fork advances to title game, and this is written by Marvin Holman in Danville. The Salt Fork girls basketball team was able to cruise for a shot of winning its fourth straight Vermilion County title. The Storm beat Georgetown Ridge Farm 45-12 on Wednesday to advance to Saturday's final at the Danville Area Community College's Mary Miller Gym. Alexa Jamison scored 14 of her game-high 21 points in the first quarter for Salt Fork, while Brycey Hurd had 6 points. Brycey Hurd and five and Lily DF added 4 points. Maddie Spessard had 4 points for the Buffaloes. The Storm started tournament play on Monday with a 50-12 win over Oakwood. Jameson had 18 points to lead the Storm, while Bracey Hurd had 11, Taylor Remol had, and Sailor Parkett each had 6, and Ella Carey added 4. Lady Smith had 7 points for the Comets, while Taylor Smoot added 3 points. And AP 46 and Westville 43 in Danville. L. Jameson had 13 points as the Trojans got past the Tigers on Wednesday. Ashlyn Ackerman had 12 points for Armstrong Potomac, while Chesney Franzen had 9 points, Kayla Krull had 6, and Isabel Bullington had added 5. Gwen Bennett had 19, and Lainey Gonsert added 17 for Westville, who had lost to Bismarck Henning, Rossville, Alvin on Monday. Gonsert had 17 points to lead the Tigers on Monday, while Bennett had 12 points, and Madison Jones and Madison Duke each had 3 points. The Trojans were coming off a 48-33 loss to Hoopston area on Monday. Ashlyn Ackerman had 7 points to lead the Trojans, while Chesney Franzen had 6, and L. Jameson, McKenna, Ackerman, and Tinley Parkinson each had 5. Claire Dixon had 22 points for the Corn Jerkers, while Addie Kelhofer had 12 points, Maddie Barnes had 6 points, and Briley Cox added 5. The Corn Jerkers played BHRA on Wednesday. The winner of that game will play Salt Fork on Friday for the title. Run through the community briefs real quick here. Art League offers class. The Danville Art League is offering a color splash party today, January 23rd, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Instructor Eleanor Wesch will lead participants in painting a red cardinal on a winter tree. The painting is an acrylic painting with embellishments of golden modeling paste and optional glitter. Contact the Art League at 217-442-9264 for more information. Community invited to bingo. The public is invited to community bingo on Tuesday, January 28th at 2 p.m. at the Liberty Village of Danville. This is a free event which will be held in the first floor of the Liberty Estates at 3222 Independence Drive. Prizes will be awarded. For more information, contact Scott Mathis or Amy Thompson at 217-431-1445, option 2. Duncan to speak at Lions Club. Natalie Duncan, Executive Director of the Danville Library Foundation, will speak at the Danville Lions Club on Tuesday at noon on today, January 23rd. The Lions Club meets at Sparky's Banquet Hall at 409 East Main Street. And Danville Board to meet. The Danville Area Community College Board of Trustees will meet today, January 23rd at 5 p.m. in the boardroom of Vermilion Hall, room 302. The college is located at 2000 East Main Street in Danville. The meal will include chicken and noodles, mashed potatoes, corn rolls, dessert, and drink for $12. The cost for veterans is $9. And Airport Authority moves meeting. The Vermilion Regional Airport Authority has moved its regular meeting from January 21st to January 27th at 4 p.m. at the Vermilion Regional Airport Authority regular board conference room. Okay, so that'll be it for today, Thursday, January 23rd, 2023. Tropical heat wave today. It's in the 20s. When it was in the negatives the last couple of days, so I'm enjoying that weather. I'm kind of laughing. My brother just drove to Florida to get away from the snow, and it's snowing in Florida. So, sorry, bro, you're going to have to live in that. So, anyway, I hope you all have a good week, and hopefully I'll see you all again next week. Take care. Bye.